The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
You got to bounce back in this league. You got to find a way to win games at the end of the day.
You can't talk about it anymore. You got to go do.
Mahomes waiting for something to open up. Touchdown, Tyreek Hill, and the Chiefs score first. Gore cuts it outside. Touchdown. Ball comes out. It's picked up by the Giants.
It's one of those moments where you feel the momentum. Can the Giants take advantage?
Touchdown.
Nice to see you, Evan Engram.
Harrison Butker to give Kansas City the lead, and he does.
We have great moments, we have bad moments. If we want to be who we want to be, we got to get better, execute better for a full game.
He is Jalen Rose, I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it
what up,
that
dog?
We do?
We get a people! What they want.
A couple of confusing losses in the NBA. The Celtics had a bad loss. The Blazers had a bad loss. We will get to those, but we will start with a bad win by the Chiefs. Let's just take you through how the end of the game went. After a tough game from Patrick Mahomes, he gets the ball, this interception. The game should be over, but wait. Giants got a penalty, which led to this field goal, which led to the Giants getting the ball back. Danny Dimes, didn't work out. Jalen, but this really isn't about the Giants' lack of winning the game. This is how the Chiefs won the game. They were not encouraging in their win. Interceptions, bad throws, a lot of running the ball, throwing behind the line. What happened with the Chiefs?
This is the beauty of sports. We all know Patrick Mahomes is going to go down as one of the all-time greats. But if you want the old Patrick, buy the old album. The other guys are getting paid to play football also. And one of the things you and I talked about is the Kansas City Chiefs offensive line cannot hold up long enough for him to stare down the field and make plays. How about I was playing against Kelce in fantasy? All he needed was 10 points to beat me. And he had 3 points? Travis Kelce? Patrick Mahomes has been turning the football over at a rate this year that equals, that rivals the last two seasons. A lot of it has to do with an unstable running game and offensive line. And obviously the defense isn't doing him no favors, so he feels like he has to make every play.
He really does. I honestly think at this point, the running game is the only thing that's keeping them in games, as you saw last night with Gore and Williams. It's just so confounding to watch Patrick Mahomes, who was sort of reinventing position. He was the golden boy, the future face of the league the last couple years. But now it seems like all those fancy throws, all those back foot throws, all those scramble throws across the body, all of those are falling incomplete or getting intercepted. And when I watched the Super Bowl and I bet on Patrick Mahomes and then I had to wear a clown suit on this show, it was because of the offensive line. They completely retooled the offensive line. But if you watched the game last night, the offensive line protecting Patrick Mahomes is still a problem. Jalen, they got the win. Can they still turn this thing around with 9 weeks left in the season?
You were wearing a clown suit because you were betting someone. Me, that's who. And Chris Godwin came on the show and you actually had to do that. And he was balling last week. You see him catch for over 100. Here's the thing about the Kansas City Chiefs. Like the last couple of years, they had a layer of invincibility where they could get behind in big games and just come back and win. Regardless of the challenges on defense, regardless of if they had a bell cow at running back or not, right? But now with the offensive line in shambles and the defense still playing bad, you can't give up on the talent that they have, Mahomes and Kelce, and obviously they have the Cheetah. But man, you gotta like the Buffalo Bills and the Ravens. They have Lamar, they have Josh Allen. We're not having those conversations about those players at this point. But again, these are all great players, and this is why the AFC race is gonna be so very exciting to watch. You know, can Tannehill step up now that Derrick Henry's down? What's going to happen with Justin Herbert? So it's going to be a lot of theater. And obviously, our guy Joe Burrow and our guy Chase, who gets two touchdowns basically every week. So the AFC is going to be great theater this offseason.
It absolutely is. And it just baffles me the way that Mahomes and the Chiefs have performed. Because if you watch this game like I did late, he threw an interception on the last drive.
Check.
He fumbled the ball to get them 3 points that his own lineman had to get on top of it. Like, it wasn't just the stats. It was the way that he looked. He just never looked comfortable. Never went downfield. Went downfield once to Hill. Couldn't get the ball out far enough. Like, it was really a lot of running and a lot of check downs for Mahomes, which is something we're not used to seeing. But we'll see if they can get it together.
Hold on. I got breaking news out of Kansas City with the Kansas City Chiefs. In their offensive line room, in their offensive huddle, Travis Kelce cut his beard this offseason, didn't he? Do you remember that happened? Oh, man. He might have to grow that back. We talked about him not being invited to the barbecue.
The beard is back. The beard is back.
It's back?
Beard's already back. I checked for it last night just because he wasn't getting any catches, so I had to look at it. The beard is still back.
I'm missing. He's missing something.
Well, the Chiefs
got a fantasy win, though.
The Chiefs got a problematic win. However, the Boston Celtics had a very problematic loss. They were playing the Bulls, and they were dominant. They were ahead by double digits in the third quarter, and then it all flipped and fell apart for the Celtics. But it was DeMar DeRozan and the Bulls who came storming back in the fourth quarter to get a big win. They only have one loss on the season.
And by the way, this is what Ben Simmons was required to do as a young player. See DeMar DeRozan. Now, here's a guy who I've called a mid-range marvel forever. It was a 20-25 point score in Toronto without even shooting threes. And then he started to shoot threes off the dribble. The maturation of his game, Jacoby, is they can throw it into Vucevic now, who played really well. Kick it out to DeMar, and he can step in and knock down threes. You got LaVine still slashing, one of the best athletes in the game. You got Lonzo playing on ball D, throwing lobs and being consistent. He's an improved three-point shooter. Like, I really like what the Bulls did this offseason. And like I tell you, it looks so very much different around LaVine that they got a living, breathing general manager. Like, LaVine has been a great player. Now it's great to see him surrounded by some guys that can go.
Absolutely, and this was a great performance by the Bulls, but the elephant in the room is that this was an absolute collapse by the Celtics, and Marcus Smart, never one to sort of not express his opinion, shared his opinion about the game in the post-game press conference.
I mean, I would just like to play basketball. You know, every team knows we're trying to go to Jason and Jaylen, and every team is programmed and studied to stop Jason and Jaylen. I think everybody's scouting report is make those guys try to pass the ball. They don't want to pass the ball. And that's something that they're going to learn. They're still learning, you know, and we're proud of the you know, the progress they're making, but they're going to have to make another step and find ways to not only create for themselves, but create for others on this team to open up the court for them later down in the game where they don't have to always take those tough shots.
Let me translate. Pass me the ball, Jason and Jaylen. That's what he said. It was articulate. It was long. It was X's and O's and balls. But he was like, y'all need to pass the ball. What do you think about Marcus Smart sharing his opinion after the game?
So this is why I love team sports and encourage young people to play, just because of the life lessons you get from it. And this one is about sacrifice. And when you look at the identity of Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, and Jason Tatum, they're different in a lot of ways. Marcus Smart is defensive oriented. So is Jaylen Brown, who's matured his offensive game to be an elite scorer. An elite scorer. Like, I was at the Garden and just watched him get 48 this season. And we've seen Jason Tatum elevate himself into being a top tier, maybe top 10, 12 player, right? And so what ends up happening is Marcus Smart at the core is going to play tough defense, move the ball, and dive on the floor for loose balls and all of that stuff. But the glory usually goes to the guys, as you know this, to get the headlines that put up the 35 points, right? Mm-hmm. And so what will help them is something that they should have done in the offseason. You got to make the game easier for your best players. And here's how you do it. In particular, Marcus Smart can contribute to this as well. They need somebody in the backcourt that can play, make, and make the game easier for those guys. If they're not going to do that, then they need to get somebody else up front so Jaylen Brown don't have to play minutes at the four against guys that are 40 pounds heavier than he is. That's what really will fix their problems. And then lastly, of course, like all young scorers, they're going to need to find ways to get their teammates involved. But when I'm getting buckets so very easy and I'm kicking it out a couple of times and you missing, then the guy going to keep shooting. Don't look too deep into this. Young, great players do learn, have to learn how to get their teammates involved. And that was just Marcus Smart venting his frustration after they lost to the Wizards recently. And now they're losing to the Bulls. Two teams on paper, you'll say, that's not the Bucks, that's not the Heat, that's not the Nets. So that's when you now have these self-evaluating conversations like Marcus Smart just did at the podium.
As we headed into the season, I would put the Celtics and the Bulls sort of like on the same tier in the Eastern Conference. But from what we've seen through six or seven games, the Bulls have lost one game and one game only, and the Celtics have only won two. Jaylen, another team that had a tough loss last night, the Portland Trail Blazers. Yeah, they lost to the 76ers. You might look at that on paper and say, it's not that big a deal. The 76ers didn't just not have Ben Simmons. They didn't have Joel Embiid. They didn't have Tobias Harris. And yet they still handled the Trail Blazers. Tough loss for them.
You know, I like to say good win, Philly, because of all the reasons you just said. But this is a terrible loss for the Blazers. So much so, a savvy veteran crowd who pays attention to the goings-on in the NBA and to their team, in particular with the trade surrounding Ben Simmons, they just feel like they're going to bully the Blazers into doing the deal by chanting, "We want Dame." Is that what I saw? Did I saw some East Coast, you know, bullying? Let me bring y'all behind the curtain just so I can calm everybody's nerves. When you calling me about Ben Simmons, on the other end, the recipient ain't talking about Damian Lillard. Let's just make sure we all on the same page about this. And again, for the Blazers, they've always lacked the level of interior balance. And Nurkic is the guy, Jacoby, that hasn't taken a consistent leap. I've seen him over the last couple of years show flashes, triple doubles even, double doubles. But then I see a lot of double singles, triple singles, foul trouble, you know, giving up plays defensively. And not having that anchor, it's in particular on a nightly basis, it stresses Dame to be accurate. It stresses CJ to create and make hellacious plays. Don't it seem like every time CJ make a shot, you like, whew, that was a good shot. Because he got to work so hard because they don't have that balance.
Well, the Trailblazers have sputtered out of the gate a little bit. And you mentioned Dame's performance thus far. And in the postgame, he's very articulate, talking about how he enjoys the struggle and he enjoys turning himself around. But look at his numbers when you compare previous seasons and this season's, and they just don't add up. Something needs to change for Dame and this Trailblazers unit. Look at that. He's averaging 10 points less a game. The field goal percentage is down. Assists per game is up. Rebounds are the same. But this needs to turn around in both Boston and both Portland. Why don't we just trade Dame for Jaylen Brown? Can we just do that? Can we just do that? Can we trade Dame for Tatum or something? Can we just do that? Let's just fix everyone's problems right now.
Here's what I want you to also think about. Dame done played a lot of basketball over the last maybe 12 to like 15 months, including Team USA.
Jaylen, Ja Morant has absolutely turned a corner between last year and this year. He is the third highest scoring player in the NBA, and he continued that streak last night against the Nuggets. We'll celebrate him right after this. Come Coming to you live from the South Street Seaport, brought to you by Chase. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Rose. The start of the game between the Knicks and the Raptors was nothing but bing bong. Mike Breen even dropped a bing bong, but then the second half happened, and the Raptors have put together this really interesting roster of a lot of players between 6'4 and 6'9. They play a lot of defense, they switch everything, and the Knicks had no answer for them in the second half. What do you think about this Raptors performance?
That description you just said, that's Masai Ujiri ball right there, my brother, the president of the Toronto Raptors. Get these guys, get them in your locker room, develop them. Take a Fred VanVleet, who is basically undrafted, and turn him into the biggest contract of a player in that situation. As I was watching this game, though, it was a lot of, I guess, initials. It was OG, because he was balling, clearly scoring, and he always plays D, and I love the tenacity he plays with. JR, Gary Trent Jr., and man, the Portland Trail Blazers could use him. And RJ for the Knicks, who has actually been playing really well, in particular the last couple of games. Even though the Knicks lost, I like what I'm seeing from RJ Barrett offensively, his aggression and his improved three-point shooting.
He's been aggressive, and he's also been very efficient. Last night, 9 for 13, 27 points on 13 shots. RJ Barrett was a bright spot. However, the second half did not look great for the Knicks. They still have some growing to do after that hot start. Moving on to another game from last night. It was the Nuggets facing off against Ja Morant, and no team, nobody has had an answer for Ja Morant this season. What do you think about the corner that he has turned?
So when you watch a league pass during the regular season, there are different times that you're going to win because of your best player. That happened with the Hawks last night, even though Trae Young struggling for three. And that happened last night with the Memphis Grizzlies going against the Denver Nuggets. He was just unstoppable getting to the basket. And I love the way he continues to attack, and he's fearless. And you know I like the way he throws his body around. He's willing to sacrifice that. And so, and also Jones was playing well. The young kid out of Duke, is good to see him playing some minutes, making Tyrus some shots Jones. And making an impact.
He did play well. They've been getting a lot of contributions, not just from Ja, but from other players on that roster that aren't necessarily household names. Jalen. Franz Wagner is not necessarily a household name unless you're a big Michigan Wolverine basketball fan, which I know you are. And they drafted him off potential. He showed a lot of flashes last year, but he had a flash last evening that needs to be celebrated. I got a notification on my phone that said this might be the dunk of the year. Jalen, what do you think about Wagner's dunk? And could that possibly be the dunk of the year?
Not dunk of the year, but a lot of it has to do with who it's on, right? Mm-hmm. Is that Carl Anthony Towns in the picture? you know, it's like the John Starks dunk, right? People be like, he did Horace Grant and MJ, but it was only Horace Grant,
Hold on.
I love. Shout out to the OG.
So I'm glad you brought up who it was on, because I want to bring up these other potential Dunk of the Year candidates that are much better, because they're also on some prolific defenders. And let's just start with Jaylen Brown on Miles Bridges. I know you remember this one. Come on, Miles.
That was nasty. And he punched this. Like, you gotta, you know what? I'm about to text this to Marcus Smart. Cause that was, you know what I'm saying? Big Deuce passed it off to Big JB. They ain't had no problem flushing on my guy, Miles Bridges.
We also have Ja Morant, whose dunks are always so just aesthetically pleasing because of his size and his aggression. Boom, that one's an alley-oop. Not necessarily on somebody, so that can't really be a dunk of the year as far as I'm concerned. But the last one, Brandon Ingram, not known for dunking on people, but who'd he dunk on? Anthony Edwards. So you take a look at all of these candidates and you tell me which one is your dunk of the year.
Oh, this is easy, fam.
Easy.
Jaylen Brown.
Jaylen Brown. It's not even close to me.
Jaylen Brown. The way he pogo stick, show his again. Because if you notice, usually people don't bang on people like that off 2 feet on the break like that. And right there, that's fearless right there. Look at that.
Look how far he cocked it back. Ooh,
you nasty, boy. You nasty. I'm trying to tell you, dog. Hey, man, it just fly to be a Jaylen. It truly is. It truly is.
Well, Jaylen, we have some news in the NFL. And we'll start with Von Miller, who has been traded to the Rams, giving them a superstar at the defensive line, the linebacker position, and in the secondary.
You know, I played with the Nuggets. They drafted me in the league. So I used to go to a lot of Broncos games. So I check out obviously, what they're doing up close. And I'm a huge Von Miller fan. It was good to see him win the Super Bowl there, accomplish a lot of great things on the field. But I'm more happy to see him now teaming up with Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey. And it had me to thinking, if I get the version of Von Miller from a couple of years ago, I got to say that these Rams, since you basically got an all-pro everywhere, have to be my favorite with Matthew Stafford at quarterback to come out of the NFC as of today.
Well, Jalen, I have a feeling this is going to kind of be like Blake Griffin leaving your Pistons, where it's like all of a sudden he's going to start playing a lot harder and the numbers go up and the sacks and the highlights go up. That's exactly what's going to happen. There's been so much discussion about that man, Zion Williamson, this offseason. We have some answers of when we'll see him back on the court. We'll let you know right after this. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby. Big doubleheader on ESPN Wednesday night, tomorrow night, starting with NBA Countdown at 7, and then 7:30, it's the Hawks against the Nets, and then in the nightcap, my favorite player in the NBA, LaMelo Ball, taking on the leading scorer in the NBA, Steph Curry. That's at 10 o'clock. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, there's been so much discussion about Zion Williamson, his health, his availability, frankly, his size. Willie Green says that he'll be out at least 2 to 3 weeks, but he's progressing and getting closer. What do you make of this?
I'm excited for Zion and for Willie Green, my little brother, family. And he's going to do a great job coaching that team. He's going to instill defense. One of the things about Zion is he also plays with Brandon Ingram. And both of these guys are young stars that each average 25-plus points per game that could get their own shot basically against anybody. And so what I'm looking for, again, to those guys to do is accept the challenge of getting stops. Zion using that athleticism to block shots and to stop screen and roll defense. And so I'm looking forward to maturation of his game.
Me too, and I'm also looking forward to coming back tomorrow at 4 o'clock on ESPN2 for another edition of Jalen and Jacoby. We always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is doing podcast exclusive content for our podcast listeners. Jalen Anthony Rose, World Series, Game 6, win or go home for the Astros in Houston. Can they extend the series this evening?
I want to see Atlanta close it out. As you know, I've been going back and forth to Atlanta to check out Gracie playing volleyball as they're in the States and they have their championship game this Saturday. And watching the enthusiasm of the Braves fans and reminding myself of all of those like great teams that they had with, you know, terrific pitching, Maddox and Smoltz and Glavin. And so how they've continued to evolve their team, evolve their roster. Obviously, Freddie Freeman, their marquee face of the franchise type of player. My guy, Ronald Acuna. Acuna. If I'm pronouncing it correct or incorrect.
Acuna.
I like his personality. I like his flair for the dramatic. I like his flavor. You know what I mean? Like, when I was at the restaurant, he scored or he made a play, like, everybody jumped up. You know what I'm saying? People was busting out of their shirt and ties when he made a play. So, like, and the Astros just recently cheated. Like, I'm not mad at Dusty Baker. But they just recently cheated.
Like, y'all got caught cheating like 3-4 years ago. It's just hard to root for you. Because you know I love to root for game sevens. I love to root for drama. But I just feel like Atlanta and the Braves need this one. Braves need this one. I can't root for a team that just got caught cheating.
Well, also, I mean, and it's only right that their 3, 4, 5 hitters are the ones struggling. That's supposed to be like the, you know, the power alley in their lineup. In any lineup.
Jalen, we never got to talk about the Wizards and the Hawks game last night. It was a decent performance from the Hawks, and the Wizards are a surprising 5-2. They're coming into this one at 5-1. What do you think about the Hawks?
You know how much I like the Hawks, and once you have a franchise player, which Trae Young is, you now build around him. And since he isn't the tallest and the best defender, but he has unlimited range and can throw lobs, but he's fearless, is that you surround him with length, shooting, and people that can catch lobs. And that's exactly what they did. And a young core that he can grow with. And so I like what they've done in Atlanta, just like I've liked what they've done in New York with the Knicks. But I still, like last season, give the Hawks a slight edge. I have them as like 3-4 for me in the East, while I have the Knicks at like overall, when it's said and done, 6-7.
When the Hawks have DeAndre Hunter and Cam Reddish available, they're a different team. You know, they had 7 players in double figures last night. It just seemed like, you know, Trae Young didn't shoot well, to be honest with you. Like, he led the team in scoring, but he didn't
shoot
particularly
well. The last couple
of games. But when Bogdanovich and Capella and Collins and Hunter and Reddish and Gallinari, when they all show up, that can make up for when your superstar doesn't show up. And the Wizards are off to a surprising start. Like, I didn't expect much from them, but one thing they have been getting is, you know, the 3 key players that they traded Russell Westbrook for have kind of flourished in a way in Washington that they didn't last year in Los Angeles. And of course, I'm talking about KCP, Kuzma, and Trez.
Keep getting them checks, Bertans. I am not mad at him at all, because you didn't say his name.
No, he was not part of that trade.
When you mentioned the Wizards, his name never came up. So I made sure I interjected it.
And for good reason.
I always tell you, of course, they keep in scoring sports for a reason. So everybody wants to be the greatest, or a superstar, or all NBA, or an all-star. But probably the most important thing all of those people can be called in sports is seasoned veterans. Like somebody like Carmelo Anthony, like he's a grizzled, seasoned vet. He done been in and out the league. Like we done seen him like go through relationships and like situations, his wife acting on TV. Like he's a grizzled OG. You see what I'm saying? That just so happens to be going in the Hall of Fame. That's what my good friend Tommy Shepard, general manager of the Wizards, did with this team. You get all angry, grizzled vets that has always outperformed when they got the opportunity, but they're coming off of a season or two where they hadn't gotten the opportunity and they want to prove themselves again. First, I told you this offseason, Spencer Dinwiddie is really good. Like, I would love, if I really wanted to sit here and like think about like the top point guards in the league, I might have him in the top.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
I might have him in the
this
top.
This better be double digits. This better be double digits.
Yeah, he's 30 teams in the league. He's not top 5.
No, he's not top 10.
He's not top 10. He's between 12 and 15.
There you go. I think that's fair. I think that's fair. And I think a lot of people forget, because the Nets didn't do much in the bubble, but like Kyrie wasn't there, KD wasn't there. Who was hitting all the big shots at the end of games? Who was scoring 20, 30 points in the bubble? That was Spencer Dinwiddie. And they really missed him last year too.
And he got a dope goatee. But here's the real true thing. Like, I've watched him play since he played for the Pistons, right? And you know how I feel about big guards. And so he could get to a spot, finish at the bucket, and shoot threes. And so, like, a lot of people gonna, like, pay attention to him now because he's like, what a new team, what a new opportunity, that type of thing. But I already knew that he was gonna be a great pickup. Montrezl Harrell, Why was he getting DNPs with the Lakers?
I don't know. I really don't know.
See, let me tell you two things that I hate that coaches do. Like, for real. Number one is stop coaching everybody. Let me repeat. Stop coaching everybody.
Explain what you mean.
Each human being in the uniform, especially one that just won Sixth Man of the Year, has value to the team. And so if that value means 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 12 minutes, if it means certain lineup, it means you adjusting accordingly to find a way to get him in the game at some point. That's coaching everybody. I know it ain't the best fit with LeBron because he on the baseline and he want to post up. And I know it ain't the best fit with AD because he really can't guard fives and AD doesn't want to. Like I get it. But he shouldn't have been getting DNPs.
No.
For a team that lost in the first round of the playoffs. Let me remind you of that as well. He always been a double-double. And then Kyle Kuzma. Like, when you play in Los Angeles and New York, that happens in dog years. Like, look at Odell Beckham Jr. It seems like he's a senior citizen now? Because his first years was in New York. Like, what year is this for Saquon Barkley? It's like everything happens. And so that's what happened with Kuzma. And then his role changed each year. But then he did something that I appreciated. He realized that his game can't only be about scoring. See, like, even though he's a talented scorer, you got to grab 17 rebounds sometime. Mm-hmm. You got to take a charge. You got to run the lane so that somebody else can get the drop off for the layup when you know you're not going to get it. See, he's doing that now. See, I seen him in Philly with, I believe, no AD or no LeBron have like 40 on them. Like, I know he can score.
That's the thing about Kuzma is you remember his summer league? Like, his summer league, he just jumped off the screen at you. Like, wow, who is this kid? And then that first year before LeBron and AD get there, he looks great. But things change when LeBron gets there. Things change when everyone's putting you in New Orleans for Anthony Davis. And it just seems like when LeBron got there and he went from sort of like one of the featured scorers into a role player, that he didn't adjust appropriately for quite some time.
But let me give you a basketball reason. And you know I've been saying this since the beginning of time, that positions were created so a novice can follow the game. What truly ends up happening for that team, though, is for them to function at their best, LeBron and AD are playing forward. LeBron's playing point, power forward, and AD is playing a hybrid four that can play five when you close in lineup. So therefore, it ain't no real minutes for Kuzma. It ain't no real minutes for Montrezl Harrell, unless you actually coaching the team. And then there's something that happens with the team. And I told you this last year with Rick Carlisle and Kristaps Porzingis. What ends up also happening is, at some point, this is why the Nets didn't want Kyrie to check in and out, parachute in and out for road games. At some point, we have to define who we are. Right? At some point, with everybody healthy, like, it can't just be like, you know, this month we're going to morph into a team that shoots to three, and then next month we're going to morph into a team that won a host team under 100. Like, you have to start gaining an identity with the roster that you have. And when the Lakers did that, it suppressed the minutes for those two guys, and it gave it to Morris because Morris fit in better with those guys up front.
Before we get to voicemail, someone I want to shout out real quick is Cole Anthony. You know, no one talks about the Magic too much. I remember Cole Anthony coming out of high school, was a top prospect, and he was so hyped. But then when he got to the draft, he ended up going 15 to the Magic. And the Magic were a pretty bad team last year. They sort of sold away all their valuable parts. But Cole Anthony has really stepped up this year, and I could see him and Jalen Suggs forming a good backcourt. He had over 30 last night in a win over the Timberwolves. What have you noticed about Cole Anthony between last year and this year?
He reminds me a lot of Gary Trent Jr. Like that. He reminds me a lot of a shot maker. Shout out to Greg Anthony, his father, UNLV OG. A guy that's gonna be able to get his shot off the dribble, but also like make tough shots as a small player. And Gary Trent Jr. comes to mind when we say that. But when you said Orlando, and you said him and Jalen Suggs, it reminded me of something. Who did they play?
They played the Timberwolves.
Mm-hmm. So, I think the a team like the Magic, what has to ultimately happen is you need one of these young guys to take a leap. A couple of years ago, it was looking like Markelle Fultz was starting to be a consistent player that they could rely on.
Remember how high Mo Bamba got taken and how high people were on him before he got into the league? You don't hear his name too much.
And so it's one thing to have these young, talented, lottery caliber players. Let's see if they're going to develop into actually rotation guys that can get you wins.
Exactly. Now, I have to apologize to the people listening to our voicemails.
Oh, that's what I meant to say. When you brought up Cole Anthony, an end of the box score thing, if you want to watch like a little Ivan Putski, a little powerful guard that's really fast, that's out here scoring 20 and dunking on people that ain't winning, just like you paying attention to league pass, I want to introduce you to Colin Sexton.
Yeah, well,
he be out there balling.
I was watching the Hornets Cavs last night, the end of the game, because you know I like to keep an eye on my guy LaMelo, and Darius Garland he made some very interesting plays at the end of the game. So end of the game, they're up by 2 points with like 10 seconds left. Garland gets an inbound pass, and you play a lot of basketball in the NBA. He gets an inbound pass. His man is behind him by 2 steps, and he's going towards his own basket. No, like the goal he's trying to score on. Up by 2 with 10 seconds left. What would Jalen Rose do in that instance? Wide open layup, up by 2.
Oh, I'm dunking it.
That's what I'm saying. Garland dribbles past the basket, around the baseline, eats another 4 seconds, and then gets fouled. Granted, he went up to the line and got 2, right? So now there's a 4-point game. The Hornets are down by 4. I'm rooting for the Hornets, right? They call a timeout. They only have 1 timeout left. I wouldn't have called it, but whatever. They advance the ball. Inbound play to Scary Terry. Scary Terry gets the ball. He's going for a wide open layup. What would you do if you were Scary Terry?
Under 3 seconds, he got to kick it out.
There's 8 seconds left, 10 seconds left.
Oh, he got to take the layup.
Yeah, doesn't take the layup, dribbles to the corner, shoots a 3, misses the 3, and then from there it just kind of falls apart. But I was just really surprised. It sounded like the Hornets talked about it in the huddle, but Scary Terry had a layup. Garland had a layup to put them up 4. Like, just score baskets, guys. Why are we overthinking this?
So it's a couple of things. There's coaching and preparation, and then there's just basketball intellect. And let me give y'all some simple math. And I'm going to use the Garland scenario that you painted as a perfect example. If you get fouled, how many shots do you have to make?
Well, all of them, but in this scenario, it's a 2-point foul, 2-shot foul.
Okay. So that means you have to go to the line and make 2 shots from 15 feet.
Yes.
But if you have an uncontested layup, you'll probably make that 1 shot 95% of the time.
Maybe
that's
even
better than your free throw percentage.
Yes.
That's better
yes.
than your free throw percentage. Take the layup.
Garland hit them both. To be fair, he hit them both. And he hit two more after that.
This ain't the NFL where, like, you're trying to pull people into the end zone and people trying to fall down so somebody can get the ball back with one possession and go the other way with Tom Brady.
No, that's not how this works.
Go take that bucket. And Scary Terry, take the bucket and then try for a steal. Did you just see what happened with Melo against OKC? They threw the ball right to him. Yeah. You score the ball and make him, and then you guard and try to force a turnover.
Well, it ended
if
up,
you foul, it's still 5 seconds to go.
It ended up a 3-point game with that no timeouts that could advance the ball, and Miles Bridges gets the ball like on his own free throw line. And I'm telling you, like, these dudes can hit. Like, he's on his own free throw line, and just the way he shot it, like, with the direction and the arc of the ball, I was sitting there like, no, he's not going to hit this. But it bounced off top of the backboard. But watching the game live, it really looked like it was going in. Our voicemails are fueled by Gatorade. Whatever path you take to greatness, Gatorade is there to fuel it. Greatness starts with a G. We always appreciate you calling in. Jalen, what's the number that people need to call?
985-80-JALEN.
I used to be able to get you with that one. Do you remember like the first 7 years I could get you with that one? Now you're not even 95 on that one. You are 100% on that one. 985-80 Jalen. Leave yourself a voicemail and we'll put it on the show just like this one.
What's up, Jalen? It's Jacoby. Shout out, Reg. This is Corbin from Charlotte. I had a quick question about the Ben Simmons situation. How is everyone overlooking the fact that it is related to the Kardashian and Jenner curse? Nobody's talking about it. Jacoby, what are your thoughts?
Well, I don't think they're together anymore, right? Are they?
Well, as somebody that publicly carried and fostered that narrative proudly, I'll own this by saying she ain't with him. She with Book. And he went to the finals last year.
Jalen, one of the best things you ever did on this program, and only you could do it, I'm not allowed to, is when you put up on the screen all of the people that she was rumored to date in the NBA, and you're like, well, she's got a type. It was Book, like Oubre, Blake Griffin, Ben Simmons, like they all look like the exact same dude. Like they're all the exact same dude. It was all people she had rumored to date. I don't know if she dated him or not, but I think that, let me just take this little, let me do the media thing and take this too far. Well, I don't think that him being linked to Kendall Jenner a couple years ago led to this situation. However, I do think some of that, shall we say, Los Angeles influence, some of that celebrity influence, some of that power that you wield when you are a tall, young, handsome millionaire walking down Rodeo kind of makes you feel a little bit taller and stronger and more powerful than you actually are. And you say, I want to be traded. I ain't showing up to camp. The world bends for me. You know, that's not that lunch pail, punch the clock kind of a town out there.
You preaching, keep going.
Somebody tells me that particular ethos, not dating a Kardashian, but being around those circles in that city, sometimes makes you feel that the world will bend for you in a way that you will it to, and contracts are just pieces of paper. And I think that he learned very quickly about 2 weeks into training camp that that's not necessarily how it works all the time, especially in a professional environment when there's a collective bargaining agreement that's in place to make sure that the people that employ and the people that are employed sort of handle each side of their business.
See, their team is a family and they're independent contractors who are paid endorsers. He works for the NBA and the Philadelphia 76ers. Those relationships are vastly different. And also, there has to be, again, a self-assessment and a self-accountability just as an athlete that whatever weaknesses I have in my game, I'm willing to work on them. Or if I accept them as a weakness, be dominant in the other areas that I know I can be. So here's the point. I can accept you not attempting shots outside of the paint if when Trae Young gets stuck on you in a playoff game, you go up and try to tear the rim down. So it's either one or the other. When you're not giving me either one, that's where now it creates a situation that he's in with the team.
Jalen, the executives don't listen to the podcast, right? And this is like
no,
minute.
Sir.
This is like minute 45 of the podcast. Like, most people aren't even listening this far, so I'm going to say something I shouldn't say. Mental health is very important. Getting help is very important. That is also very important. And the second that he said that he wasn't mentally ready to play, the team said, we'll get you the resources in place. We'll get you all the help that you possibly need. But timing is convenient that you don't want to play basketball for the team. And you didn't play for a while because you were holding out looking for a trade. And then when it's time for you to show up, you showed up and you said your back hurt. And then you said you're ready to go, but you weren't mentally ready to go. And that was a couple weeks ago. So it just all I'm saying is the timing is a little convenient. I take mental health very seriously. I want Ben Simmons to be healthy mentally and physically, but the timing is convenient of this particular claim. That's all I have to say about that.
Well, you're being fair, and he's a professional athlete, and he's a human being, and he's an adult. And you know what it's tough to do? Be all of those things and a functioning member of society, regardless of what your job career is. And so I understand where you're coming from and definitely respect it. Just like I respect that he knows that he's got a cascade of bulls waiting for him.
Yep.
And how would you deal with the peanut gallery? I'll snatch off my shirt, let them see my bird chest, and they can just bring it on. But that's just how I am.
Well, I also see him as a sympathetic figure as well, because he is an excellent NBA basketball player. Like, he is all NBA. And if you take this like trade request and that sort of drama aside, there is something mentally blocking him from performing to his best abilities. It's not just physical. Like, it is also mental for him. You know, it's kind of like the yips in baseball or something.
Family, I don't care what level of basketball it is. I don't care if it's somebody playing in the house on a Nerf hoop, somebody like me that grew up playing on a hanger in the house in a milk crate. I don't care if you're playing in an elementary gym, in somebody's backyard, middle school at the park, in high school at the YMCA. I don't care where you play basketball. Male, female, young, old, I don't care about your ethnicity. I don't care about your heritage. I don't care about nothing. Every human being that walks into a gym and dribbles a basketball, they shoot it. That's the first thing they're trying. The first thing is dribble. The second thing is shoot. And if you're now in the NBA and he has played more basketball than 0.1% of the entire world, it absolutely is a mental block. This is why you see the videos in the summer of him shooting, pulling up, no big deal. You know why? The stakes ain't as high. That's all. That's the only difference. Do you know how many people I played with? That was like, man, he can shoot better than me. And then I'm like, wait, man, he get in the game, he missed every shot. I'm like, oh, got it.
Well, some people are scorers and some people aren't. I'm not a scorer. But one thing I want to say to everyone listening that's ever played any level of basketball, Jalen Rose has got a great jump shot. But, like, people like me get into the gym, shoot one 15-footer, then shoot 10 threes, and then shoot a couple fadeaways. Jalen will just shoot, like, six-footers in a row. And then you go to the other baseline and shoot six. That's how you know you're a good basketball player. It's like, let me just see it go through a lot first. You know, I've been trying to do that recently because I've been struggling with my shot. It's just like, let me just not start with a 22-footer. Let me just start with a 4-footer and watch the ball go through a little bit.
You see little kids out there, man. They've been watching Steph Curry, dog. They can't even pick up the ball. The ball too heavy. They trying to throw the ball from as far as they can.
Yeah. Drop kick the ball at the basket from the half court line. Like, no, hit an 8-foot floater first. Just hit an 8-footer. That's great advice, Jalen Rose. I always appreciate doing the show with you. Thank you for everybody that works on the show. We will be back with another show to step two tomorrow. Why is that, Jalen Anthony Rose?
We're not done. We're not done. We are not done. Got the gym to be fun.